We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction. On the trolley back alley, heading through some Nutmeg Function. All the people we see and the places we go, we'll have you right back by the end of the show. We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction.
Previously on Giles and Brewster.
You'll go to Buxomley as guests of the Chenningtons. Lord and Lady Chennington will be expecting you, as will their daughter, Gloria.
Gloria Chennington? She's a werewolf now, isn't she?
Sir, it appears another motor car is approaching rather quickly, and there appears to be a young lady behind the wheel.
Ah, Brewster, thought it was you.
Guinevere Chuttle! Enjoying a spot of fresh air, I take it?
Oh, that, and dispatching zombies with all speed. It's so much fun. See you at Buxomley. I'll clear the path for you. Ta!
Tickety-boo and all that.
We talked about Mr. Carmichael, Mama.
Snow, yes, a wonderful fellow. Deep thinker.
Balderdash. He's a reanimated monster.
Pa, don't hold that against him.
The only thing I'd hold against him would be a torch if he came my way.
Papa, I just can't bear it.
Someone should go after her, Mr. Brewster.
Oh, me?
We shall place the wolf's bane on each forearm. Now the lady in lupine form should recognize the wolf's bane and give pause to any plan of attack.
Just as even-tempered as ever, Gloria.
I suppose there's nothing for it. Snowd and I are lost to the ages. I shall have to accept your hand as a poor second.
To eat?
I would not eat it, Woody. Not you either.
Thank the stars for that.
I mean, your hand in marriage. We should have a spring wedding, I should think.
And now the conclusion of Giles and Brewster and the Monster Apocalypse.
Mad with delight about your engagement, Woody. You can knock me over with a feather.
That makes one of us, Guinevere, dearest. Sadly, the Brewster-Chennington alliance will come sooner than wished upon. For me, at any rate.
It's just in the spring. A lovely time of year. Zombies are out in full force by then, so it's jolly good hunting.
Ah, well, and good for you, perhaps. But for young bachelorhoods cut down in their prime, well, it's more than the heart can bear.
I say, Brewster, are you talking to me?
Don't be daft, Toppers. I'm talking to Guinevere.
Steady on, Brewster. I don't follow you. What do you mean, old bean? Who's Guinevere?
But she's right here. Hang on a tick. She was just here a minute ago.
Whomever you're referring to is gone. Anyway, will you go golfing with me today? I'm looking for a partner now that the club removed the creatures out of the sand trap.
About time, too. Difficult to make a par if one is to be charged at by giant lizards on the eighth fairway.
So you're game, then?
No can do, I'm afraid. Aunt Agnes already arrived with orders for me to stay put. Too late to scoot off now.
Ah, bad luck, Woody. Perhaps I shall seek out this Guinevere you're referring to. If I can't find any takers, I just might play a game of croquet on the grounds instead.
By yourself?
Should I not?
Oh, do what you must, Toppers. Keep it on the green.
Anyway, Woody, I should very much like a spring event. The mild winter has just been ghastly.
There you are! I thought I'd lost you for the mo... Say, how did you disappear like that?
Like this.
I say, well, that is a rather good trick. How is it done, if you don't mind sharing it? Magicians have their ways, secrets of the trade and all.
It's called being a phantasm.
Didn't we see you behind the wheel of a motor car, dispatching zombies with all speed?
Oh, that was Butterby behind the wheel. I was just the driving force behind Butterby, as it were.
Butterby's form looked just like you. Giles and I both saw it.
A bit of the phantasm fantastics, I'm afraid. The mind sees what it wants. Jolly good fun.
Oh, rather. Knock you over with a feather. When you're part apparition, that's entirely possible, eh, what?
Sir, if I may have a word. Pardon me, Miss Guinevere.
Oh, you can see her, Giles. Guinevere, right next to me.
Yes, sir.
She doesn't look like Butterby?
Decidedly not, sir.
Well done.
Ta-ta!
Giles, did you know Guinevere Chutter was a phantasm?
Yes, sir. Her obituary was one of the last printed items of that kind before the recent unpleasantness took full form.
Have you found a way to extricate me from this Chennington matrimonial business?
Not just yet, sir. I came to inform you that his lord and ladyship Chennington and your aunt request your presence in the drawing room. It's my understanding that they wish to discuss your future prospects.
Could we postpone this entreaty, Giles?
For what time frame, sir?
Well, a couple of years, at least.
I think not, sir.
Then once more onto the breach, dear Giles.
Aptly put, sir.
I'm Commander Alex of Space Sentries. If you're like me and trapped in your quarters on your spaceship due to a faulty locking mechanism on your space door, then you'll want audio entertainment too. That's why I listen to Nutmeg Junction, America's new old-time radio audio theater program, right here on this station.
There he is, fully dressed before noon. Well done, Woodrow. Of course, we all know who to thank for that, don't we, Giles?
I'll have you know, Aunt Dearest, that I've been up since last night. Couldn't sleep a wink, in fact.
Couldn't sleep, eh? All the excitement of marrying our Gloria kept you awake, did it?
Yes, rather.
We were just asking Dame Brewster whether, or rather how, you were intending on providing for our daughter. Do you have any views?
Yes, there's that, of course, and I imagine a little bit of this, that, going hither and yon and doing all sorts of things, really. Lots in development, still waiting on 10 quid from Gussie Knitbottle, so that's a start toward the old nest egg. Giles, just in the nick of time, what is it, man?
You wish to be reminded at this precise hour about your investment interests.
Yes, the old investments, of course. How are they doing? I was just wondering.
Not at all well, I'm afraid.
Woodrow, we brook disappointment with every utterance.
But one investment is achieving success. There is the matter of the small sum invested in the Carmichael Institute.
Oh, that's right. Snowd was going to cause some damage to my lower intestines if I didn't plunk down a bit of cash toward his, what's it? The Institute's just down the road.
Snowd? What is this about Snowd? Have you heard from him?
We were just discussing finances with your fiancé, and he appears to have done well with an investment with the Carmichaels.
Mr. Brewster enjoys a relatively small investment, a paltry sum by many accounts, but the Carmichael Institute itself has done remarkably well, as it has focused on research, especially in the areas of finding a cure to this world's ills, as it were. So it has done exceedingly well.
Only a fool would make experimental operations on himself.
Newt is not a fool. He's absolutely wonderful, just wonderful.
As is your fiancé, no doubt, Gloria.
Would he? I mean, well, he's right in front of you. You can see for yourself.
Thank you, darling, I think.
I've heard the last word I want to hear in this house about this Snowd business.
Lord Chinnington has spoken on this regard.
And I wholeheartedly agree. Am I correct in understanding that you have some accounts relating to trade in the Far East?
I have indeed lost a man in the trading company, and accounts do need tending.
Accounts do need tending, don't they, Woodrow?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Accounts and all. I know a good accounts man. Knitbottle is the name. He has a touch of the vampirism, mind you, but during the day, he's right as rain.
Lord Chennington, I fear the goose for this evening's meal has been destroyed.
Gloria, did you have anything to do?
No, Mama. I dined on venison last night.
Well done. Keep the deer population at bay.
What does Javier have as a substitute?
On this short notice, I'm afraid we only have chicken, Mum.
Perhaps, sir, you would wish to help find a suitable alternative.
I jolly well would to get out of this room. I shan't be long, all.
We shall continue the discussion very soon, Woodrow.
Of course, favorite aunt. Wouldn't dream of missing it. But if it gets too late, don't hesitate to start without me. Come along, Giles.
Very good, sir.
And well played, Guinevere.
Sir?
Oh, you're actually Butterby. Well, we'll play it anyway.
Where is Tex Bijou?
Howdy.
Are you ready to promote the Nutmeg Junction program?
Well, I reckon.
Whoa there! I should have used the segue. Tex Bijou's cinema singing cowboy, TM, gets his choice of stories to promote.
Would you like to promote Professor A, adjunct professor to the universe?
Well, now,
Harriet Holmes?
Well, I...
Inspector Trompe-l'Oeil? Space Sentries? The Grey Whisper?
Well, ma'am, I'm just a simple singing cowboy, but I'll promote all of them by promoting the radio program Nutmeg Junction, America's new old-time radio audio theater program right here on this station.
Did you hear that? Sounds a bit like Topper's, doesn't it?
If my ears do not deceive me, sir, I believe you are correct.
Oh, look. He did have a croquet mat set up here for one. Coming, Topper's!
Sir, before we bound into the woods, shouldn't we take some precaution?
No need for wolfsbane, Giles. Not for another 30 days, at least. But I see what you mean. Croquet mallet?
Indubitably, sir. Take heart, Mr. Topsmead. We are advancing on your location forthwith.
There you are. Why are you tied up to a tree stump, Toppers?
Sir.
I mean, honestly, that's a rather peculiar thing to do.
Sir, step back slightly, please.
One would think someone with a university education would... Oh, dear. Snowed! Snowed, old man! Here's the thing. We're not here to get a refund on our investment. I understand your institute is doing quite well, self-operations aside and all. Well put! You don't mind if I ask my man, Winthrop Topsmead, how he came to be in your care, do you? Care to explain yourself, Toppers?
I saw this hulking brute... No offense intended, of course. I saw this man take a goose from the grounds, and of course I was positively staggered.
And? Go on.
I said, here, here, man, that's not your goose, is it? Give it here like a good chap ought.
Mr. Carmichael is not in a position to respond favorably to your request, Mr. Topsmead.
So then I said, look here, fellow, I'm the one with the croquet mallet, and before I got any further to explaining my position, I received a rather good thrashing, or at least that's what must have occurred. I woke up here.
Ah, I see. I believe now would be a good time to let our croquet mallets drop from our fingers, Mr. Brewster, ever so quietly and gently.
Oh, rather, Giles.
I woke up tied to a stump, if you can believe it. Such a bother.
So, you chased after Snowd and threatened him with a croquet mallet. Didn't you notice the bolts around his neck and stitching around every part of his body?
I shouldn't mention it. Impolite to bring it up, don't you know?
Oh, dash it all! If Snowd wants a goose, then jolly well, leave him to it! The worst case scenario is the household eats... chicken. I know. Still, Snowd, do you think if this man apologized for his unbecoming behavior, you could See your way clear to letting him go.
I have to apologize to him. Out of the question entirely.
Mr. Topsmead, might I remind you that you are unable to best him with a croquet mallet and the use of your feet and hands, and you do not have use of anything of that sort now.
I see. Well, in that case, Snowed, I'm sorry. Sorry you were rather upset about my righteous actions.
I don't think that sort of apology is sufficient. I certainly wouldn't accept it.
Oh, very well. I apologize most sincerely for any grievances I may have caused and wish the matter to be settled between us gentlemen with these words alone.
He agrees. I'll get him out of these ropes.
Thank you, Snowed. It's good of you, you know. No wonder Gloria speaks so well of you. Gloria, yes, Gloria. You like her, too. That's just lovely. She'd much rather be engaged to you than to me any day, I'm sure.
Sir, I think prudence is the better part of valor here.
Imagine me engaged to her! Who would have thought? Certainly not I, not before this weekend, I can assure you. And still, Gloria and I are considered attached.
No!
I'm just not used to the whole fiancé business at all. I never imagined a Gloria Brewster in my future.
Run back to the house, sir. Mr. Carmichael is beyond fury.
Snowed? Oh, dear. But what about you?
I have a plan to soothe the savage beast. Go, sir.
If you insist. Toodles.
I'm Harriet Holmes, and I'm good at what I do. I didn't become a gumshoe for the love of shoes. And when I want to find stories that challenge and intrigue a discerning audience, I listen to Nutmeg Junction, America's new old-time radio audio theater program right here on this station.
Look out the window! Do I see Woody Brewster running out of the clearing in the woods?
What has he done now?
Something involving Snowed. Snowed is chasing him. I said I didn't want any more of this Snowed business. This is outrageous.
They're heading straight for the house.
And Woody's not going to make it.
Sorry! Sorry!
Snowed's got him by the shirt collar.
I'm going out to him.
You'll stay here, young lady, and that's
I must go, Papa. I love him.
He means Snowed, not Woodrow. That was a brief engagement.
Now look here, Snowed! You just need a minute to process what's happening here! Snowed? Snowed?
I've got him, Woody! Giles called out to me while you were running. He asked me to get Snowed calmed down just a tick. So I possessed his mind. Not much here, but what there is focused on Gloria Chennington.
Using your old phantasm tricks, eh?
Wonderful fun.
Ah, I see you there in the eye. You're in there, aren't you? Well played, Guinevere. Well played indeed.
You have to go now.
Snowed? Snowed, is that you?
You shouldn't be here when I release Snowed's mind, Woody. He'll get angry again.
Snowed is here, and he clearly has feelings for you. Feelings he may not be able to express. Should you require it, I release you from any engagement. I shall now step inside while my intestines are still in my body.
Snowed, is that you? Snowed, look at me.
I've released him, Woody. He's all Snowed now. But I'll stick around if she needs help.
She? Needing help from him? Come now, Guinevere. You must mean the opposite, surely.
Ta-ta for now.
You seem to have escaped.
The engagement? Yes, indeed. You mean Snowda? Yes, yes. Giles came up with a unique solution. There he is with Topos, no less.
The most extraordinary thing happened. Your man Giles just spoke to the air, and it responded. Most remarkable indeed.
Mr. Brewster, am I to understand that your betrothal to our Gloria is now at an end? Is the wedding off?
Judging by the embrace I'm seeing out the window here between Snowd and Gloria, I should say wedding bells may yet be in your future, though my part in it will be sparing at best.
So I'm stuck with Snowd for a son-in-law, thanks to you, Brewster? Brewster, this may be your last visit to Buxomly for some time.
Right, well, understood, really. Still, we shan't be in the country for some time. We were just preparing to travel to America. Isn't that right, Giles?
Most definitely, sir.
We'll get to packing before you send us packing. Giles, this is the life, isn't it? Nothing but sunshine and the ocean waves.
And the luxury cabin, sir.
The accommodations are quite nice, aren't they? Lord and Lady Chennington were most appreciative of my amicable manner about their daughter's broken engagement to me. They must not have realized that I would have paid twice as much to break it off on my own.
We must be gracious about our good fortune, sir.
And what of Guinevere? She was a rather stunning helpmeet, wasn't she?
Indeed she was, sir. She has decided to provide companionship to Mr. Winthrop Topsmead.
Old Toppers! You don't say. Well, if she uses her phantasm skills on him, even when he plays croquet by himself, he won't be alone when he loses.
A generous phrasing, if I do say so, sir.
You may, Giles. You may. See who's at the cabin door, Giles. I'm absolutely bushed.
May we help you, sir?
May I step inside for a moment?
I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, let the chap in. I'm sure it can't do much harm.
Roosters! Inside at last.
Nitfuddle! Well played. Do you expect such a thing, Giles?
I did, sir.
Huh. Thank you ever so kindly for letting me in. Dashed right out there. Have to be covered from head to toe, don't you know?
So, your coverings were necessary, and yet they made for a clever disguise all the same.
Awfully good of you to recognize that.
Well, what's your play, Nitfuddle, old thing? We can't lounge around forever.
I owe you 10 quid from a snooker gamble.
I'm well aware of that fact, Nitfuddle. Distinctly so.
But there's a snooker table on the Lido deck here.
So, you'd like to go double or nothing?
Exactly, dear chap. I'm nothing if not reasonable.
Seems that such a tournament could be arranged.
Then let's have at it. What's the worst thing that could happen on our voyage across the sea on a ship such as... Say, what is the name of this cruise ship, Giles?
The Titanic 3, sir.
The Titanic 3. What's the worst that could happen?
We shall see, Mr. Brewster, sir, in good time.
Station between tracks 9 and 10. There were those strange people again, muttering words like potions and cauldrons. I had a notion he was one of them. I said, excuse me, but I'm looking for a man. His name, like the flower Lupin. He came into my world through some portal in a dream, then vanished before I could say, Remus Lupin, I love you. Would you ever love a muggle? Remus Lupin, muggle's what I learned, I am the day we met, the strangest day. never forget. I was weeding in the garden, he yelled, lock your ears. What he pulled out from the ground was screaming in tears. It grew suddenly cold, I saw a silver light. He smiled, gave me chocolate, said I'd be all right. I swear I see him now and then out of the corner of my eye. When I turn to look, he's gone. I don't know why. Remus Lupin, I love you. Would you ever love a muggle? Remus Lupin, I love you. Why should finding you be such a struggle? Tortures you, no matter what they say. I'd meet you by a full moon. You see, I'm not afraid. Remus Lupin, I love you. Would you ever love a muggle? Remus Lupin, I love you. Would you ever love a muggle? A muggle.
This has been Nutmeg Junction, Season 2, Episode 2. Giles and Brewster and the Monster Apocalypse, Part 2, was written, created, and produced by J. Timothy Quirk. The program was recorded at WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. The program starred David Macarelli as Woodrow Brewster, Josh Newey as Giles, Lana Peck as Gloria Chennington, Shannon Sniffen as Guinevere Shuttle, Jandy Hanna as Aunt Agnes, Kurt Boucher as Toppers, Robert C. Fullerton as Lord Chennington, Olivia Wadsworth as Lady Chennington, J. Timothy Quirk as Butterbee and Gussie Knitfoddle, and the inimitable Rich Sear as Snowed. Nutmeg Junction theme song created and performed by Robert C. Fullerton, copyright 2018. Remus Lupin song created by Lana Peck, copyright 2018. Additional music and sound courtesy of YouTube royalty-free music. Tune in next time for additional adventures of Nutmeg Junction.